Good morning, everyone. My name is Robert Oudmayer. I'm the CEO of Gemma Money Bank. I'm here with Antoine Boublil, the CFO, and also Volker Gloey, our Chief Risk Officer, is on the call. I'd like to run you quickly to some highlights, and then we go to more detail on the pages, and then we really welcome all your questions and comments. So if we start with page three, just a few words on the environment. Quite favorable, with interest rates at historically low level and foreseen to stay stable through 2014. The Swiss economy grew around 2% and was in general better than European peers. The consumer market was slightly down. I'll talk a bit later about the market more in detail. And also the environment, very stable, competitive and regulatory environment. So we didn't see any new entrants coming into our market on the competitive side in 2013. Moving to the financials, net income of 132.9 million Swiss francs, or earnings per share of 4.43 Swiss franc. Stable net financing receivables base was slightly down on auto and personal loans and 19% up in credit cards. Net interest margin at 7% with a cost income ratio at 50%, including one of IPO charges, and if you adjust them for those charges, it would have been 44%. Return on average equity of 14.1%. If you use the December 2013 equity level, it would have been 16.6%. Operational, we have a page on rebranding, but you know, we are pretty pleased about the rebranding. It has been completed. We spent 10.4 million Swiss franc in Q4 2013, and I have a full page on it afterwards. Further diversified funding sources, so we launched a senior unsecured bond of 250 million in November 2013 at very attractive rates, as you can see. And then I think collections performance really very strong, historically low delinquency numbers, 30 plus at 1.8%, and the NPL ratio is 0.4% in December 2013, which was probably historically best performance that we have seen in a long, long time. On the capital allocation side, strong liquidity position with 492 million of cash and solid Tier 1 ratio of 19.7% as of December 2013. And there is a proposed 2013 cash dividend of 285 Swiss francs per share to be paid out of reserve from capital contribution and free of Swiss withholding tax. So that is a quick overview. We're getting into a little bit more detail. If you go to the next page, page 4. The operating environment. A few words on the economy. In general, a very stable situation for the Swiss economy in 2013. The fourth quarter, the Swiss economy grew a little bit less than expected, as export of goods declined. But overall, the Swiss GDP doubled its growth pace from 1% in 2012 to 2% in 2013. Consumption of households, or the private consumption, even grew by 2.3% in 2013. So that's a signal of people's confidence as well. Another strong distributor to the GDP was the investment in construction at 3.8%. And for 2014, economists expect a continuation of growth at 1.8 to 2%. Short-term interest rates remained at a very low level during 2013. Also, the midterm rates remained low with some volatility around the mid-year. And economists expect the S&P not to raise interest rates in the next 12 months. So again, a very stable situation. Long-term interest rates are more volatile and might increase slightly. But overall, I think also with the exchange rate, Swiss franc euro, very stable position, and the minimum floor of 120 is still in place, and also a very, very stable exchange rate there. You can also see that back in the Swiss unemployment rate, it was at 3.5% at year-end. It also goes a little bit up at year-end. It's expected to stay flat in 2014 around 3.3%, so overall a very stable operating environment. If you move to the next page, product line update. A few words about the personal loans first. The market was slightly decreasing in 2013. It was 2.2% down. You might ask yourself, why was the market down? Because immigration was still quite strong, with more than 80,000 immigrants in the Swiss market. It's difficult to give you a clear reason for this. The few thoughts that I have about this, first of all, there was no inflation, so there were no real salary increases, so people might be cautious to take more loans out. Also, the credit card market is going up with 7%, so it might be that some people are moving from personal loans to credit cards. And also, you know, a lot of foreigners doesn't mean a lot of loans, because most of the foreigners coming to Switzerland have jobs, good salaries, so they might not need always money. So we expect this market to be flat in 2014. If you look at the Cembra performance, I think we performed quite well. Assets were down 37 million or 2%, mainly due to the runoff of a revolving product, but overall we were pretty much in line with the market. We spent a lot of effort and money on online over the last couple of years, so we really reinvented the whole online presence. Applications on online were up more than 20% in 2013, so the investment is paying off. Also, the 25 branches are performing pretty well with the personalized service, and our growth focus will be continue to be an online development and some SME offering. On auto, a bit of a different picture. Market went down 6.2% in 2013. This has been has to do with the new CO2 law, which was implemented the 1st of July 2012. A lot of people registered their cars in the first half of 12, and if you see the second half of 12 and the second half of 13, the market has been flat. But overall, 6.2% decrease in the market. We expect that the market to be around 300,000 in 2014. What you saw in 2013, because the market was down, very aggressive auto captives, a lot of low-rate campaigns. I think we managed to maintain our strong market position, because we're not only focused on large dealers, but also on medium and small dealers with some less competition from captives. We're also very strong in younger used cars, which are not that much affected by captive rates. So overall, assets were down 56 million or 3.2%, which is probably in reflects competition and the market. On credit cards, a different story. The market volume went up 6% in 2013. The number of transactions went up more than 11%. Our apps went up 25% to about 100,000. Volume went up 19%. Number of cards 70% to 553,000. Assets up 89 billion or 24%. So very strong performance from Cembra in the credit card sector. As you know, we renewed our micro contract last year for 5 years. Apps were up 13%. Also, the first full year of TCS, maybe the 18,000 applications with a very high approval rate and almost 17,000 new accounts on book. So overall, we are quite pleased with the credit card performance. A few words probably on the NSF technology. I think it's interesting to talk a little bit about that one. We launched with Migro the Cumulus MasterCard with NFC technology in September 2013. Migro was the first major retailer using this technology. You probably know, but it's about a contactless payment for transactions up to 40 francs. So you just swipe your card. You don't need a PIN. You can also do payments above 40 francs, but then you will be asked for a PIN. It was rolled out in Migro in end of last year, and some other places like Kiosk, where people buy the newspapers, and McDonald's. Co-op, this is the other big retailer, will launch this in July this year. And also SBB is running a pilot in Zurich and plans a full rollout later this year. Why is that important? I think people moving more from cash to a payment with the card. It is only applies for credit cards, so not for debit cards. So it will be competition for cash payments and drive volume. And we think it's going to roll out bigger in 2014, and it might help us also on our credit cards volumes. We move to the next page. Update on rebranding. Just a few numbers on rebranding. We touched 3,000 different customer letters across 8 IT systems. They were fully rebranded. We also rebranded 120 marketing items like brochures, flyers, giveaways. We had a huge launch campaign in November with a nationwide advertising campaign. We had 800 TV screenings. We were for the first time in a long time on TV. We had 1,600 billboards across the country, 40 printouts, and millions of online impressions. So we spent, as I said, $10.4 million on the rebranding. I think we are very pleased because it went extremely smoothly. Of our branch network, we already completed 16 branches completely. We have 5 to be done in March and the remaining 4 planned in April. It is not always in our hands because we are sometimes depending on approval of city authorities, but we think that we can finalize everything in April. Also, the recording is on track. Micro, we're going to start in October with a 50 to 100,000 recardings a month, finalized in October. Our Continental Ireland portfolio has already been finalized. The Chamba bank card is planned for April. TCS is starting in April. Will also be finalized in September. So by Q3, we will have finalized the recarding. We can't do it quicker because if you do everything at the same time, you also have to renew all your cards at the same time in 3 to 4 years' time. So we got very positive market reactions. I think it's important that we maintain Money Bank in our name, and I think the impact for customers has been minimal. So everybody has been so far very pleased about the rebranding, which went really, really very smooth. So with that, we move to the next page. I'm going to hand over to Antoine, who's going to run you through the balance sheet.
Thanks, Robert. Good morning, everyone. I will start the financial section with our balance sheet. So we ended the year with $492 million in cash, driven by more funding that we raised at year-end, and also the seasonal loan repayment that we see, and that is usually compared to June, lower. Our net financing receivables were stable overall, with variations according to our different product line. Personal loan was down 2% year-over-year at $1,861,000,000. That includes the continued runoff of a revolving product. And versus June, it was also impacted by seasonal loan repayments in a market which was slightly down. On auto was down 3% year-over-year at $1,647,000,000, and clearly a challenging market with both volumes and price pressure from competition. Card was up 19%, reflecting the continued strong growth in the portfolio. On the liability side, our deposit grew 30%, driven by institutionals, which were up 53%. Our long-term debt increased significantly, driven by bank loan, ABS, and our first senior and secured issuance. GE Capital funding was reduced by half to $700 million at year-end, and our equity is down year-over-year to $799 million. This is driven by $470 million of special dividend that took place pre-IPO, and is offset by our current year net income, the book-up of a tax goodwill benefit of about $36.2 million, which compares to the $35.4 we estimated previously, and a reduction of other comprehensive income of $20.7 million, which is driven by the strong performance we see on our pension plan assets in 2013. Our risk-weighted assets stood at $3,595 million, which is about 90% of our net financing receivable, and it's in line with the previous years. Our Tier 1 was strong at 19.7%, and I will comment further on this later on in the deck. Moving on to funding, we made good progress in 2013. We reached 81% of standalone funding at year-end, compared to 53% a year before. Obviously, following the IPO, our funding structure changed significantly. We finished the year with $700 million of GE Capital funding, which leaves us with an undrawn credit line of about $300 million out of the billion total commitment we get from GE Capital. The all-in rate for this $700 million was 1.63%, which is better than the guidance of 1.75% to 1.85% we gave pre-IPO, as we benefited from lower swap rates at the end of October 2013. And also, this rate is a function of the utilization we have on the revolver. Now, this rate only impacted our financials for the last 2 months of the year, after the IPO, and we paid 3.25% for the balance of the year. On the deposit side, we stabilized retail at $495 million following the introduction of our new offering at the end of the last year, and we see positive momentum so far this year on retail. Institutional growth was strong and broad-based, as we have seen new counterparties placing deposits with us past IPO. We issued successfully our first senior unsecured bond at a spread of about 75 basis points, which was very well received by the market, and currently it's trading about at around 40 basis points. On bank loans, we entered into a $450 million facility with international banks for 3 years at an all-in rate of 1.28%, which is also better than the 1.35% to 1.45% range we given previously, also driven by the same reason with lower swap rates, at the end of October. So overall, funding is in great shape at Chambra. We move to the P&L. We delivered $132.9 million of net income in 2013, which is an EPS of 4.43 Swiss franc, and that's close to our 2012 figure. Our net interest margin was up at $282.6 million, which is a net interest margin ratio of about 7%. This was driven by lower interest income, which I will detail on the next page, and it's more than offset by our change of our funding mix, with interest expense down $9 million year over year. Our commission and fee income reached $72 million, driven by lower insurance profit share, strong growth on cards with fee up 21%, and slightly other fee lower, driven by our revolving loan product runoff. Our provision for losses were at $7 million, driven by the sale of loss certificate we've done in June. Then our operating expense reached $178.9 million. That includes $23.3 million of one-off item driven by the IPO, with about $7.3 million of share issuance tax, $5.6 million of transaction-related costs, and $10.4 million rebranding campaign. That gives us a cost-income ratio of about 50%, and it's actually 44% on adjusted visits for the one-off of 23.3. Our return on average equity was 14.1%. It was impacted by the high capitalization we had, up to the IPO. If you look at, the equity on a December 13 level, the return on equity was actually 16.6%. On the next page, I will comment on an interest income by product. On the right side, you can see the splits by product line. Personal loan was down 3% at $218.5 million. If we look at the average rate, you can see that on the walk at the bottom left-hand side of the page, you can see that we managed to hold price, and we're mostly impacted by volume there, at a stable average rate of about 11.3%. Auto was down 9% at $19.2 million. Now, this is clearly driven by intense competition in a very challenging market in 2013. The pressure on price drove our average yield from 5.8% to 5.5%. Then on credit card, we're up 26% at $32.3 million. That was driven by the strong growth, in our portfolio, and all of that with a very stable yield of about 7%. On the next page, our provision for loss was positively impacted by the sales of loss certificates executed in the first half of 13, with a $7 million provision for losses for the full year of 13. Our loss rate was about 0.2%. If we look at it on an adjusted basis, ex the debt sale and compare it to the previous year, the loss rate is about 0.7%, which is really flat year over year. As guided previously, the debt sale executed in 2013 will continue to impact the recovery flow, going forward. On delinquencies, we had a very strong performance driven by collection effectiveness. Our 30-plus were down at 1.8% in a pretty consistent way by product, as you can see on the right-hand side of the page. Our non-performing loan ratio was also down at 0.4%. Move to the next page on operating expense. I will walk you through all the details. In particular, I would provide the split of the $23.3 million of non-recurring IPO charges by line item. If we start with the compensation and benefit, we are lower year over year due to a lower workforce in the bank and a non-repeat of $1.3 million restructuring charges we took in November of 2012. This was partially offset by inflation. GE Capital assessment and TSA reached about $8.9 million, and about $7.8 million for assessment and royalties up to the end of October. And then after the IPO, we incurred $1.1 million of transitional services agreement costs for November and December. Professional services included $4.1 million of transaction-related costs and about $0.4 million of rebranding costs. Marketing was high at $13.3 million, but that included about $7.6 million of rebranding costs. Postage and stationery, included $2.4 million of rebranding costs for terms, conditions, brochure, and, flyers that we've been sending as part of the rebranding activity. And other was at $14.7 million. That includes $7.3 million of share issuance costs and $1.5 million of rebranding-related costs. So overall, our cost-income ratio, you know, would have been 44%, you know, if you adjust for those one-off items, which is 2 points below the previous year. If we move to the next page, you know, I will cover our Tier 1 capital ratio and our dividend proposal. As you know, our Tier 1 capital is derived from our Swiss GAAP consolidated financials, and which is our regulatory requirement. The work on the left side described the movement year over year of our Tier 1 capital. You know, first, we incorporated post-General Assembly, the statutory net income of 2012, which accounted for about $134 million. Then we reduced the Tier 1 with the two dividends that, you know, we've done pre-IPO for about $417 million. Then, and that's a change of methodology from the previous year, you know, it's mostly to be more in line with, you know, Swiss banks and, you know, international banks, we incorporate the Swiss GAAP consolidated net income for 2013, which amounts to $142 million. You know, and this number, you know, includes some pension provision release we've done in the first half of 2013. And then we also deduct the proposed dividend for 2013 of about $85.5 million. Finally, we have a book up in equity corresponding to the tax goodwill amortization benefits of about $36 million. And then we deduct the deferred tax assets of $14 million, corresponding to the amount still to be recognized on that, you know, goodwill tax amortization benefit. You know, for the year 14, that DTA balance would be $7.2 million, and for 2015, it would be $6.6 million. This leads us to a Tier 1 capital of $707 million, and a Tier 1 ratio of 19.7%. On the right side, you can see the dividend proposal of 2.85 franc per share, which corresponds to a payout ratio of 64%, which is within the guidance we've provided previously. This dividend is intended to be paid out of reserve from capital contribution. And with that, I will turn now back to Robert.
Yeah, thank you, Antoine. If you look at the last page, the outlook guidance, I'd first like to repeat the medium-term target that we set at our IPO. So asset growth, we said, you know, net consumer loan growth to be moderate and aligned with Swiss GDP growth. It was flat in 2013, as you have seen in the numbers. Profitability, we set a ROE target of at least 15%. We were at 14.1% if you take average equity and 16.6% if you take year-end equity. We set a consolidated Tier 1 capital ratio target of minimum 18%. We were at 19.7%. And the target payout ratio between 60 and 70% of consolidated net profits, we are at 64%, is what we proposed. Some comments and some outlook there. The interest income will be impacted by the low interest rate environment, what will we expect to be continue in 2014. So I think that is one, you know, we don't see any interest rates rising, also not in the market. We haven't spoken about the IT transition. I think it's good to spend a few words on it. The project is pretty well on track. Of course, there's work to be done, but I think we're really well organized financially and also workforce and execution-wise. We're completely on track to hit important milestones this year and next year. So we're very confident that we will be on track there. The loan losses, as previously guided, we expected about 1% of financial receivables, which is due also to the sale of loss certificates in 2013, as guided previously. Some guidance for 2014, earnings per share in the range of 440 to 450, 460 Swiss francs. So with that, I really open it up for questions. So thank you very much, and please go ahead for the questions.
The first question comes from Tariq Amjad from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for having the conference call. I have two or three small questions. First one, in terms of your capital, I mean, we can see that you're still accumulating excess capital above your minimum of 18, which is already quite conservative and healthy ratio. So my question is that, is there any update in terms of potential non-organic growth in credit cards or other segments? That's one. Second question is on the cost of IT transition. As you just mentioned, I mean, it's going smoothly, but I just want to know, in terms of third-party providers of IT systems and so on, have you already renegotiated the price with them? Is transition happening already? Just some updating there. And last question is on the new immigration law in Switzerland. I mean, it has been quite widely discussed in international as well. And you made an interesting comment at the beginning about personal loans, and you said that immigration has been healthy and good in the second half. So you don't understand why personal loans did not pick up. So what do you think would be the impact of the implementation of this law, which I understand is not anytime, I mean, it's not next month, but it's quite soon. And what would be the impact for your business? Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll give the first question to Antoine, and I'll take number three and two and three afterwards.
Yeah, so I think, you know, you're right. We've built excess capital, you know, a little bit faster than expected, but I think the optionality on that excess capital, you know, remains. You know, we have the choice of returning more cash to shareholders or, you know, to some extent and in a very opportunistic way, you know, do some small M&A. I think on the M&A side, you know, like we said, it's opportunistic. So, you know, if there is something interesting that we can execute at, you know, good return, you know, we'll look at it, but there's no update on this one at this stage. I think on the overall excess capital, I think this is a dialogue we'll have with our board, you know, this year in terms of, you know, how do we deal with that.
Yeah, let me first say a few words on the IT transformation. So we are indeed very well on track. As you know, we're not transforming GE system, we are transforming market systems to from GE to Cembra. We built in our forecast about a $5 million extra IT cost per year, which was more than offset by the lower TSA from GE. We are negotiating prices. I think we have a pretty good feel where we are. So everything what we do is inside the budget we do. So we think that the budget that we set out of IPO will be sufficient to do the IT transformation in the next 2 years. On the immigration law, which is an interesting topic, I think, for everybody. So there was a referendum to limit immigration in the future, and this will probably lead to new immigration quotas. I think it is very difficult to speculate at this point of time because it all depends on the political interpretation now. So the government has to bring up a law proposal which will take effect in the next 3 years. So, and it will not be today. And this might have an effect on growth in Switzerland, but I don't think anybody knows today the answer. So I can only limit myself to Cembra Money Bank. As you know, immigrants is not our target customer segment. If you remember at the IPO, we showed you a chart on customers. 87% of our customers are Swiss nationals, 63%, or settled foreign nationals, 24%. And settled foreign nationals are people that are longer than 5 years in the country. So immigrants is really not our target group. We have about 30% from our customers from the resident foreign nationals, and those are people with what I have called a B permit, so they are less than 5 years in Switzerland. The average time on book that we get on book is 4.2 years. So it's really not our target customer. I can't talk about the effect on Switzerland because nobody knows that, but I think just for Cembra Money Bank, it's going to be very limited on its own.
You very much.
The next question comes from Gurjit Kambra from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. Just a few questions. Firstly, in terms of the guidance you've given for EPS of 4.4 to 4.6, could you just briefly sort of summarize the key assumptions you make in deriving that? So if we just maybe target that first, and I'll go through the rest after.
Yeah. So I think on the guidance, we're giving an EPS guidance of 4.4 to 4.6, you know, Swiss franc. You know, I think, you know, there's multiple components in there. You know, one component is we don't expect interest rates to rise this year. You know, we don't see that. You know, we, you know, probably would have seen that at the end of last year, but it didn't happen. So with that interest rate still, you know, anchored fairly low, we expect competition, you know, on price to remain, you know, fierce. So that has an impact on interest income. So, you know, that's factored into our guidance. On the other side, you know, we are going to benefit from a lower funding cost. You can see our mix already, you know, how that impacted positively the numbers with only a, you know, couple of months actually last year of impact. But on a full year basis, this will help. And then, you know, we're making good progress, you know, on some of the transition items, but, you know, those have to be executed this year. So that's what we're looking at in terms of the guidance, and that's the rationale for it.
And are you assuming that receivables sort of stay broadly flat? Is that in, auto and so flat in personal, maybe down in autos and then increase in credit. Is that kind of how broadly to look at it?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at the medium-term guidance we've provided, which is growth in line with GDP, I mean, we keep that guidance as a medium-term, you know, target. Now, depending on the product line, there is variation. So clearly, you know, credit card is doing very well. You know, you can see the growth, and that's a growth that we see, you know, for a few years now. So we feel pretty good about this one. You know, I think the auto market has been challenging last year, so we'll have to see, you know, if that rebounds, you know, this year. But then, you know, on the personal loan side, it is, you know, fairly, you know, typically a fairly stable market. It was down 2% last year. So, I mean, all in all, you know, we expect, you know, to keep market share in, you know, auto and personal loan, and in cars we'll keep on growing. So, all in all, it's in line with sort of the midterm guidance we've provided.
Okay, fine. And then just a couple of follow-up questions. One, on the retail deposits were slightly lower in 13. Is there any sort of reason there? I know you said you launched some new rates. I just wanted to know what sort of pickup in terms of customer appetite was for retail deposits.
Yeah. Well, I think retail deposits, you know, is something that we've focused on in the past, and then, you know, we didn't focus as much. And then with the IPO, you know, we relaunched, you know, a different, you know, price grid for this, and as well, we extend the maturities up to 8 years. What we've seen is that they stabilized at the end of last year because there is sort of inertia in that. But what we see now in the first couple of months of this year is very good momentum. So we feel very positive that, you know, an area we're going to grow this year.
I think the also is we now starting to advertise it really. So we didn't do a lot of advertising because we had a full rebranding last year. And since of January, we are advertising the rates, and you see momentum as with this as well.
Okay, fine. And then just in terms of the rebranding, is there sort of more cost we should expect from rebranding, or are they largely done now?
I think they're largely done. I mean, we have put the 10.4 million in scope last year. So you should look at a normal marketing spend for this year. We don't foresee a huge amount of rebranding for this year.
Okay. And then just my final question is, this, in terms of the RWA growth, you know, is it still appropriate to use sort of a 90% on the net receivables? Is that sort of okay to use going forward?
Yeah, I think it's been consistent the last few years. So, I think we expect it not to change going forward.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, welcome.
The next question comes from Flora Benekun from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. A few questions from me as well, please. The first question is just a data point. I didn't find the breakdown of the number of credit cards by program. I don't know if this is something you're going to disclose, but it would be interesting to see where the growth was coming from. The second question is on the pricing pressure that you mentioned in auto loans. I remember from the investor education that you mentioned you expect some good repricing power when rates rise in the auto business. So is it still something you think will be doable, or do you think that the pricing pressure is structural and will stay even when rates start to rise? And then the other question is on the funding rates, which, as you mentioned on the slides, were lower than expected on deposits and on the parent funding. So should we stick to the initial guidance you had done, or it could be that the funding cost for these two lines, deposits and GE funding, will be lower than expected?
Okay, I'll start, Flora, with your credit cards question. So if you look at the accounts and book, which are different than the number of cards, but the accounts and book is 466,000. There was a good growth in Migros again. So there was about a 50,000 accounts growth in Migros. Then the other one where you really saw growth was TCS, because we're now at 16,600 accounts in TCS, which is basically the first year. So that was a big one. The Chamba one is small, around 14,000-15,000, and very stable. And also Cozy is growing, but not at the same pace as Migros and TCS. So out of the 70,000 new accounts, basically, the main growth was Migros, about 45-50, and TCS was about 15. Then your second question on pricing. I think with the prices that you see now in the market, and where we're not expecting to see prices going up this year, I don't think we're going to reprice auto massively this year. I don't think it's possible. So you should expect a very stable pricing for this year. If something would happen on the pricing, I think we would. But I think with the current predictions of very stable and flat pricing for 2014, I think it's not realistic to expect a big repricing on auto.
But I think, you know, just more of on a longer-term basis, you know, this product line will follow the interest rate cycle, so there is room for repricing, but that's going to depend on obviously the competition intensity. But you know, short term we don't expect rates to rise. And on your last questions on the funding, I mean the GE capital rate is about 1.63%. You know, for you know the last couple of months of this year, and that's based on the 700 million balance. One impact on the rate is, and it's an all-in rate, is how much do we utilize on the revolving credit facilities. So we've utilized 200 million out of 500 million. You know, if that facility, you know, if that amount of revolver, you know, is coming down, you know, we basically apply less fees to a lower balance. So that tends to, you know, push up the rate. But in terms of absolute Swiss franc for interest expense, you know, it will still be a positive. So that's how I would think about the 163 is, you know, if everything stays the same, that's the rate. You know, if we've come down a little bit on revolver, it might go up a little bit, but on a Swiss franc basis, still would be beneficial. On the deposit rate, I mean, you can see here the mix. The 0.83% is the weighted average rate between institutional and retail. I mean, we are going to grow retail. That's one of our objectives this year. So, I mean, from a mix standpoint, you know, that rate would probably edge a little bit up. But overall, I mean, this is a pretty good cost for the company, and, you know, we feel very good about funding costs going forward.
Okay, thank you. Maybe just as a quick follow-up, also another question on the Basel III impact. I suppose we're going to move on to Basel III reporting for the next semester. You still guide for a negligible impact?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next question is a follow-up question from Tariq Al-Najjab from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead, sir.
So just quick follow-up. I remember that you had one loan from Swiss Bank maturing in May this year. Will you roll over that? And do you think the pricing will be similar to what you had before or significantly lower? And and second question, sorry to come back on that, but I mean, 65% dividend payout is already quite high, I mean, I must admit, but why you didn't go slightly beyond that in the higher end of the range you guided for?
Okay, so the first question on the bank loan, we have a 200 million credit facility with Swiss banks, you know, that's maturing this year. That facility has different, you know, tranches, so they all, you know, mature in the course of 2014. You know, our current assumption is we're going to roll over that facility. And in terms of, you know, price, I mean, obviously it will be discussed with the Swiss bank consortium, but you know, I think we have put a couple of data points in the market, you know, for that type of maturity with both our senior and secured, you know, bond, but also, you know, some of the other bank facilities we have. So, you know, I think our market rate, you know, is probably lower than what you see here, you know, on the page at 159. But, you know, this still have to be executed this year. But that's our assumptions to roll it over. On your second question on the payout, I think this is obviously the first time we report earnings, and this is our first dividend, you know, post IPO. So, you know, that's the payout ratio that, you know, we came up with, you know, with the board. I think it's you know, it's a good payout. I mean, it's in line with our guidance. You know, as we said before, we've built up excess capital already a little bit faster than some of, you know, expected. So that gives us optionality, you know, in the near future, and, you know, we'll explore those different options with the board in the course of this year.
And I think the same point is still valid as we did during the IPO. Now, if we can do a small acquisition portfolio, which is interesting and not dilutive to our earnings, we will do that. So I think we're looking at that one. It's very opportunistic. You never know if that happens and when it happens, but that's still a target at least to look at it.
Okay, thank you.
We have another follow-up question from Gurjit Kambra from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sorry guys, we're all giving you follow-up questions. Apologies. Just on the acquisition side there, from my understanding, I think you want to stay in, obviously, the Swiss market. Is there any sort of preference you have, whether it's within the, you know, autos, personal, or the credit card receivables? Or do you have any preference for which area?
Well, I don't think it has changed, though. I think it will be in consumer finance or something that's linked to consumer finance. So we stay in Switzerland. We're not looking at going to a completely different market. Credit cards would be great, but you know, honestly, there is not a lot of credit cards probably to be found. So I think it's just an opportunistic approach. If there's something what makes sense for us, where we can find some cost synergies and where we can run at a decent ROE, I think we'll look at it. If that's auto or something in personal loans or something which is close to those groups, you know, I think we should just look at what's coming in our way and then act on it and then really have a look if it is incremental for us or not.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for all your questions. We hope we have given you a good explanation today and hope to speak all to you very soon. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.